Welcome to the outreach program sponsored by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This program has been established to help those wishing to learn more about our hobby and further assisting those wishing to upgrade their license status. This will be an in-depth course pertaining to what one should know when studying for the extra class license. This course will be conducted with two sessions weekly, which will be at 7 p.m. that's Eastern, 2300 Zulu, each Tuesday, and 7 p.m. again, 2300 Zulu, each Sunday evening. For those that are already licensed and wish either a refresher course or would just like to listen, please connect to the SCARS, that's S-C-A-R-S, server at either EchoLink node number 96140 or IRLP node 96140. For those who are interested, please contact myself, Mike, KD0CDQ, via email. Now, here's our email address. I'll be reading this about four times. VOIP at VOIPnet.southcars.com to enroll in the class and be given directions to the study material required and the manner you'll be connected into the course. Now, the material being presented is formatted from data obtained from the ARRL, and it's simply being forwarded in the presentation format by SCARS. Should anyone take issue to some of the technical statements made, and in keeping with not interrupting the class and session, please convey your comments or suggestions to the outreach program, again, at VOIP at VOIPnet, VOIPnet, dot southcars.com. Let it drop. Okay, it should be mentioned that this course covers only the requirements pertaining to the United States Part 97 rules and does not include other requirements that may be found in foreign countries. Should any other country other than the United States wish to have their own licensing session on this server, please drop us an email, you know where, VOIP at VOIPnet.southcars.com. The session this evening is being recorded and is posted at, now this will be a different address, the recording will be posted at www.voip.southcars.com. Now, please note, for all of our class members and instructors, it's extremely important that we all stay on the same page during these classes. The only question pool and copy thereof that should be used when participating in this class should be the ones found posted on our website, because there's other questions out there that may not have been up to date. So only on our website, and the publications from other sources may or may not be current and should not be used during the session. Now, you probably received the information where to find our questions. I will take the minute to just one time read the website, but you can find it because I'm sure that the information was sent to you by Gordon or someone. But the address to get these questions, I'll let it drop and then I'll read it. The website to get the current questions that we are using is at http://site.google.com/site/SCARS, S-C-A-R-S, downloads, that's one word, slash. So if you need our question pool, that's where you'll find it. Do we have any emergency or out of the ordinary business that needs to be handled before we start this evening's program? Okay, this is the time to kick off your shoes, get your favorite beverage, and place your cell phones on vibrate, or something like that. And I gave you the website where to go to get these questions that we're using tonight, and just click on the extra course and it'll come up for you. That's really an excellent site because it has a lot of aids on there for this extra class, which we need a few aids for. And just follow along with the Q&As. Now please note, anything you do not understand about the questions that are covered, just cut in when we give you the opportunity and say comment, because after each question and answer given by the instructor, they will pause and ask, are there any comments, or they'll pause. So if you have a comment, just come on and say comment, and one of us should be intelligent enough to pick up and hear you, okay? Now note that any questions we do not cover today that are of interest to you, you're having a problem with a certain question, don't hesitate to send us an email to the VOIP address that we gave. Send us an email with the question that's giving you a fit or you don't quite understand, and I'm sure one of us will be very happy to email back to you an explanation or a better understanding of that question. And maybe we didn't cover it well, and maybe you need a little more, so don't be hesitant. So like the questions tonight and the questions for Tuesday, because this is the beginning, if anything in that group of questions is a problem to you, please don't hesitate. Send us an email. We'll send you an answer, okay? Letting it drop, and then we'll get ready to get started class here in a moment. Now remember, everyone, you are not alone. We've got a number of instructors. Actually, we have 8 instructors. I'm looking there, counting, making sure I can count to 8. We have 8 instructors out there that some of them are listening in tonight. But tonight, the 2 you will have will be Gordon Smith and his lovely wife, Kathy Gordon Smith. Okay, put all the way through. They will both be your instructors tonight. And as we go through, there'll be instructors from Georgia and instructors from Pennsylvania, Maryland, Kansas, and Texas. So we're spread across the nation. So our accents will be a little bit different, and so will our humor. Please put up with it. You don't have a choice, really. Okay, I watch people check in. I work for the school district, but I'm a job coach, but I'm taking attendance here. And I noticed that we have Dave and Lloyd and George and Diana at least online here. So I will pause if anyone has a question. Please come aboard with it, and then after that, I will go over to the instructors. So KD0CDQ, pausing if there's anyone that needs any instructions. Over. I'm getting smoke signals out there, but I'm not receiving the signal. Anyone receiving the signal? Over.
KC2THO, would you mind repeating where we can get a copy of the broadcast? I didn't get it all. Go ahead. Thank you.
Yes, very good. I'm recording it, and other folks are recording it, too. Now, to get a copy of this, let me look back here again on the ready to copy this down. The session this evening will be recorded and posted on our website. That's the SCARS website. Now, here's the website, www.voip.southcars.com. Now, if you go to www.voip.southcars.com, you will see a kind of a yellow screen, a lot of information up there, just about in the middle. I think when you first go on, it's over on the left-hand side. In the left-hand quadrant, it'll say Extra Class, Extra Course. You click on that, and then another window opens, and on that second window, I believe it's in the very center, you'll see Extra Class with some dates or something on there. Click on that, and the whole question pool will come up. All, 700 questions will all pop up. And tonight, what we'll be covering, I'll flip my pages here. Tonight, we'll be covering Echo 1 Alpha 01 through Echo 1 Echo 14. That's 63 questions we're covering. But we're not going to cover all 63. What we actually do, each instructor will pick 6 questions from that group. That's a total of 12, 6 and 6, 12. And those are the questions that they will accent tonight. That doesn't mean the others are not important. These are just 12 questions that we feel that might be of importance to you. But any other questions you have, again, after they read the question, they give the answer, they'll give a break time, and during that break, if you have a comment on that question, just come on and say comment, and go back off, and we will acknowledge that we see you there. I think we can put that together. So if you look at that website there, Tom, I believe it was, in New Jersey, I believe you'll be able to find it. Don't be concerned if it takes you a few moments, because we'll take our time with this. We're not going to be in any great hurry with anyone here. So we're going to start with Gordon. Gordon, who's down in sunny Florida. I should say sunny Florida. I'm in sunny Kansas here, 90-something degrees. But I don't have any ocean breezes here. So Gordon will start out tonight, and then his sunshine of his life, Kathy, with her golden voice. She'll be coming on. I can't believe Kathy's a school teacher. Her voice sounds too good. Okay, I'm going to let it drop here, and then Gordon will pick up with the first question, and he'll tell you what it is, and away we go. KD0CDQ, standing by.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mr. Kansas. And, Mike, I am attired just as you have asked. I'm wearing my cut-off Floridian shorts, and I have no shoes on. So I'm very comfortable. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for your interest in the 2016 South Cars Extra Course. Tonight will be the first class in a series of 12 classes and spanning 6 weeks. There will be two classes per week on Sunday and Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time here, held on this SCARS server. Not to be redundant, but there will be 60 questions assigned to you per class, 120 per week, for a total of 712 for the course. Big question pool this year. We recommend strongly that each of you participating review your class assignments prior to the day's class. Now, your instructors are all holders of amateur extra licenses. We have chosen, and again, this is redundant to something that Mike has already said, but we have chosen 12 questions out of the 60 assigned to you for discussion. We have done so in a manner to highlight the important concepts found in each of the groupings as we move through the course. And these 12 questions represent 20% of the evening's assignment. And as Mike mentioned, please remember that we're all here to help. At any time you have a question on your study material, feel free to contact us by emailing at voip@voipnet.southcars.com. So let me buy a nickel here and we will get started. We're going to start off with question Echo 1, Alpha 01 in your question pool. E1, AO1. And before we get into this question, I want to just touch on a few things so that everybody is comfortable on how to interpret the question pool itself. The E1 AO1, the E1 portion designates the grouping of a set of questions, and the AO1 just gives you the designator of that specific question. What is important is right by that, in parentheses, is an alpha designator. And that designator tells you the correct answer out of the four answers or suggested answers that follow the question. And those are normally labeled A, B, C, and D. In addition to the far right of that delta or that alpha designator, on the first line is the Part 97 specific entry for the rules and regulations that are being covered. So you can go right to the horse's mouth, if I can put it bluntly, and look up FCC Part 97. In this case, you'd look up 97.301, and it would discuss what the FCC is expecting. Okay, with that said, probably one additional comment. Don't memorize the ABCDs in the suggested answers. The question will be the same on your test. The answers will be the same on your test, but the alpha designators will not. The VEC group doesn't want you memorizing those by designator, and so they change them around. When you get your license or get your test, the answer that's on the pool may be D as in Delta, and that answer may be marked B as in Bravo. So stay away from trying to memorize that. Resetting the timers. Okay, again, starting with E1AO1, that question reads, ladies and gentlemen, when using a transceiver that displays the carrier frequency of phone signals, Which of the following displayed frequencies represents the highest, underline highest, the highest frequency at which a properly adjusted USB, that stands for upper sideband emission, will be totally within the band? Okay, now they give you four answers here. A, the exact upper band edge, and that is incorrect. B, 300 hertz below the upper band edge, and that is dramatically incorrect. C, 1 kilohertz below the upper band edge, which is incorrect. And the correct answer is D as in delta, 3KC, 3 kilohertz below the upper band edge. Now, note that this question is talking about upper sideband, and that has a bandwidth of 3 kilohertz, 3KC. This means to prevent having any portion of your signal outside of the band, your transceiver should be set 3 kilohertz below the upper band edge. We're going to be getting into another question here rapidly, too, with Kathy that is the same thing, but they're going down to the lower edge of the band. So remember, single sideband has 3KC bandwidth, and you want to keep it tucked within your allocated frequencies. Any questions on that, please, before I turn it to Kathy?
Comment, KD0CDQ here.
Oh, almost doubled with you. Mike, go ahead, sir.
Yes, I wanted to back you up on that the ABCD changes. Some people say that doesn't happen. I checked with an VE during the field day just a few weeks ago, and she said definitely the ABCDs are shifted on the test question that you will receive for your exam. It is a fact. It's not fallacy. It's not fiction. Gordon is very correct. They can swing those around on you, so be on your guard. Don't look at the guy next to you. Put your own answer down. That's all. KD0CDQ standing by. Standing by, waiting for Kathy.
Well, by no means look at the guy next to you. Thanks, Mike. Okay, Kathy, I think you're E1 Alpha 05. Please come aboard.
Well, thank you so much. This is Kilo 6 Sierra, United November, and I am the second part of this team tonight, and that is correct. It's Echo 1 Alpha 05. And it reads, what is the maximum power output permitted on the 60-meter band? Let me read that again. What is the maximum power output permitted on the 60-meter band? A states 50 watts PEP effective radiated power relative to an isotropic radiator. B states 50 watts PEP effective radiated power relative a dipole. Both A and B are wrong. Charlie, which is the correct answer, states 100 watts of PEP effective radiated power relative to the gain of a half wave dipole. And once again, that's the correct answer, Charlie. And Delta states 100 watts PEP effective radiated power relative to an isotropic radiator. So let me drop it here for a moment, and let me just give you a little explanation. But again, I also want to emphasize what Mike and Gordon have stated about that alpha designator. I have taken many of these tests, and they do change them. So let me drop it here for just a moment. All right, please note that this question is asking about the 60-meter band. The current correct answer refers to the power in PEP and further references the gain factor of the antenna to that of a half-wave dipole. PEP, or peak effective radiated power, is a combination of your transmitter power, any loss in your coax, and the gain of your antenna. A half-wave antenna is normally considered unity gain or zero. So if we look at this hypothetically, if your transmitter is 100 watts, your coax has no loss, and your antenna has a gain of 3 dB, and 3 dB is double your power, your PEP power is 200 watts, or 100 watts more than is allowed in the 60 meters. In this case, to become legal, you would need to reduce your transmitter power to 50 watts to produce a 100-watt PEP signal. So, With that, let me just throw it out there and see if we have any questions or any comments. All right, hearing nothing, Gordon, yours is the next question, and it's Echo 1 Alpha 10.
Okay, thank you, Miss Sunshine. Just wanted to make a comment here. Ladies and gentlemen, Kathy holds a master's degree in education, and she's employed locally here as an English and history teacher in one of our local high schools. And she's administrating tests all the time. And as we get into this a little further this evening, I hope that she will share some of the observations that she's gained and the tricks of the trade on where to look and where not to look and so on and so forth as you're reading the questions. All right, we're going into Echo 1 Alpha 10. I'm going to recharge the batteries. And E1A10 reads, if an amateur station is installed aboard a ship or aircraft, what conditions must be met before the station is operated? Okay, now they've got four answers here, but I'm just going to give you the correct answer, which is AN and Alpha. And it reads, in operation must be approved by the master of the ship or the pilot in command of the aircraft. Now, if you stop and think about this, this question sort of speaks for itself. It's not only is the law, but it makes good sense. You want to make sure that the head honchos on the craft know that you have radio equipment. You want to make sure that you're not going to be interfering with their onboard equipment and services, and on it goes. Any questions on that one, please call now. KY6V for South Cars. Okay, moving right along. Kathy, looks like we're going into E1B. And that covers a lot of nice stuff, and you're going to be handling E1B01. Kathy, KY6V.
That's correct. We're going into a new section, ladies and gentlemen. Like Gordon said, it's E1B, and it covers quite an area. And I will be very happy to talk a little bit about testing hints, I guess, tips for you as you go through work through your course as you're taking some of those practice tests. And we will do that before we close this evening. So my question is Echo 1 Bravo 01. And it reads, which of the following constitutes a spurious emission? And I, too, will give you the correct answer. There's an A, B, and C, and D. But I will give you the correct answer, and that is delta, which reads, an emission outside its necessary bandwidth that can be reduced or eliminated without affecting the information transmitted. So that question's answer is delta. Spurious is defined as not genuine, authentic, or true. This can be harmonics, unwanted signals. These spurious signals need to be kept at or lower than the prescribed level. So with that, any comments or any questions? All right, hearing nothing. Gordon, we have quite a group out here. No questions and not many comments. I think they're probably right on track. Your question is going to be, the next question, is Echo 1 Bravo 07.
Yes, and this is an interesting one, too. Thank you, Kathy. Echo 1 Bravo 07 reads, ladies and gentlemen, what is the highest modulation index permitted at the highest modulation frequency for angular modulation below 29 megahertz. Excuse me. I've got a froggy. Okay, they've given you four answers here, but only one is correct, and that would be B as in Bravo, which stands for 1.0. Now let me read that question again. What is the highest modulation index permitted at the highest modulation frequency for an angle modulation below 29 megs? Now, modulation index M is used to describe the ratio of maximum voltage to minimum voltage in the modulated signal. Any modulation is modulation in which the angle of a sine wave carrier is varied by a modulating wave. Now, frequency modulation, FM, phase modulation, PM, are two main types of angular modulation. All right, when you come right down to it, there's a formula for figuring this out. It's quite simple and succinct. Modulation index M equals a capital M for modulation over A, capital A, and the A is the carrier amplitude. The M is the modulation amplitude and is the peak change in the RF amplitude from its unmodulated state. Now, that's a lot to say, but it's an easy formula, and if you get this question, you ought to be able to handle it. Any questions on this, please? Over.
Comment, CDQ.
Go right ahead, Mike.
On questions like this, I would simply memorize the answer. When you see that 29 number and then you see 1.0, put that away in your memory bank. Trust your brain. It's up there. It's working, even though you don't see it too often. Those kind of questions, instead of trying to, you're going to freeze up a little bit during the test. You're going to be in a sweat because you want to do well. When you see something like that, look for keys in the question and look for clues in the answer, or vice versa. Look for clues in the question and then look at the answer. If it's something like this, which looks a little, you know, fuzzy for you, what it means, just put it in your memory bank. Put it up there in your memory and trust your brain. There'll be more comments on that, I'm sure, from Kathy going along. Thank you.
Now a comment from N2CHI.
Yes, sir. Good evening, Dave, and welcome. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. Is this what we used to call 100% modulation?
You could call that, yes, I think that would fit. I wanted to say one comment about Mike's last transmission also, Dave. You know, I've reviewed all 712 of these questions, and I will tell you that this extra class that just came out of the question pool on July the 1st is a doozy and a half. Doozy and a half, not that it's particularly hard per se, but it is very intensive. It's very enormous in its coverage. I mean, they poured all kinds of things for you to think about that you run into amateur radio into that kitchen sink. So memorize what you can. Try to understand what you can, because if you're going to memorize all 712 questions, good luck. Dave, any comments on that? Over.
Okay, thank you, Gordon. I suspected that that's what we used to calculate as 100% modulation, which was always considered maximum in ham radio. I also have another question on PEP, the way it was used here, but I can send an email on that this week. Thanks very much. I'll hold you up.
Okay, look forward to the email. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you being with the class here and part of the student staff. Okay, Kathy, we're going back into another group now, E1C. You might want to read that definition of that group. That's a mouthful, too. KY6V. Kathy?
This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Yes, these changes of categories are quite lengthy. They cover an awful lot, but I'd be happy to read it. We're going into Echo 1C. And it pertains to definitions and restrictions pertaining to local, automatic, and remote control operation, control operator responsibilities for remote and automatically controlled stations, IARP and CEPT licenses, third-party communications over automatically controlled stations. And that was quite a mouthful. But my question is Echo 1 Charlie 01. And it reads, what is a remotely controlled station? And once again, we have the alpha designators, A, B, C, or D, but the correct answer in this case is Delta D, a station controlled indirectly through a control link. So a remotely controlled station is a station controlled indirectly through a control link. You might think about this question this way. You are a repeater owner. Your repeater is on the mountain and you live in the valley. You need to be able to control this repeater, power adjustment, frequency, audio level, besides being able to turn the machine on and off. If available, you could do this via telephone lines and or a radio link operating on a frequency different than the repeater itself. This is what is called a remotely controlled station. Any comments or questions on this one? All right, hearing nothing, Gordon. Your next question is in the same grouping, the E1, Echo 1, but yours is Charlie 08.
I'm with you, Miss Sunshine. Thank you. At 33 minutes into the hour, this is KY6V for South Cars. We're conducting the first class in our classes of 12 in number for the FCC examination for amateur radio license class, extra class. All right, E1CO1 reads, what is the maximum permissible duration of a remotely controlled station's transmission if its control link malfunctions? Okay, you got something broken. What do you want to do? What do you have to do? Of the four answers, they give you 30 seconds. They give you 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and 10 minutes. The proper answer is B, as in Bravo, 3 minutes. Now, this question and answer speaks to itself. You know, if there's a loss of control, the transmitter must automatically turn itself off within 3 minutes. And if you think, if you've done some 2-meter and 440 operation, the repeaters and so on and so forth, are most set for a 3-minute timer. That's not only to cut your transmission off, but it's to stay in sync with the FCC regulations. Any questions on this, please? All right, Kathy, you're up with E1CO9, mademoiselle.
All right. You are correct. It's Echo 1, Charlie 09, and it reads, which of these ranges of frequencies is available for an automatically controlled repeater operating below 30 megahertz? And once again, there's the four choices, and it's a lot of megahertz from different levels, but the right answer is once again Delta, and it's 29.500 megahertz to 29.700 megahertz. And the answer is clear, only the upper portion of 10 meters. So as Gordon and Mike were talking about, we talk about memorization, finding something up there in the answer that will give you a clue to the answer. I mean, this would be a good one. You see 30 megahertz at the top, and something very close to that would be that answer, Delta. So with that, any comments, any questions before I throw it on to Gordon, because he's going to go into another section. All right, hearing nothing, Gordon. Yours is going into Echo 1 Delta. And it looks like we're going to be talking about satellites and things like that. So hopefully this will be a nice question. Gordon, go right ahead.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy. Well, the Echo 1 Delta grouping, guys and gals, covers amateur satellites, as Kathy mentioned, definitions and purpose, license requirements for space stations, available frequencies and bands, telecommand and telemetry operation restrictions and special provisions and notification requirements. So the first question in this group is Echo 1 Delta 01, E1 DO1. The question simply reads, what is the definition of the term telemetry? Now, they give you four answers. They say one-way transmission of measurements at a distance from the measuring instrument. They say in B, two-way radio telephone transmissions in excess of 1,000 feet. Wonder where they got that answer. Two-way in C, signal channel transmissions of data. And D, one-way transmission that initiates, modifies, or terminates the function of a device at a distance. Hey, the correct answer is A as in alpha. Let's go back and read the question and the correct answer. What is the definition of the term telemetry? And what way it's a one-way transmission of measurements at a distance from the measuring instrument. Okay, said in a different way. This is to transmit radio signals, data, etc., automatically at a distance as between a ground station and an artificial satellite, space probe, or the like, especially in order to record information or operator guidance of the apparatus. So, with that said, any questions on this dude? KY6V for Southcars. Okay. Maybe we'll see a lot of email coming, Kathy. Your next one, Mademoiselle E1D10, please, from KY6V in Southcars.
And this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November along with KY6V. And we don't get enough emails, so that may be a good little thing. And actually, we're starting to wind down this evening, Gordon. It looks like we've only got about three more questions, and not many questions out of our class members. But this question is Echo 1 Delta 10. It reads, which amateur stations are eligible to be telecommand stations? And, you know, this set of answers, A, B, C, and D, has one that I always love to see. And that is all of these choices are correct. But in this case, that's not the correct answer. But let me give you the other choices. Alpha is any amateur station designated by NASA. And Bravo is any amateur station so designated by the space station licensee, subject to the privileges of the class of operator license held by the control operator. And Charlie is any amateur station so designated by the ITU. The correct answer in this case is Bravo. It's a shame it's not Delta, because I really like all of those choices are correct, but it is Bravo. This question and answer again speaks for itself. You must hold a license that covers the frequencies being handled, and you must have authorization from that station licensee. So with that, any comments, any questions?
Comment, and then it'll be.
Well, good evening, Dwayne. What's your comment or your question?
I'm not really doing the course, but I just like sitting back listening to it, and thinking of the answer before you give it. I got it, and I keep getting them right. I love it. Anyway, back to you, ma'am. Amen, Jimmy.
This is CDQ with a quick comment on that question. This is not, now, whenever there's a rule, it's because there's exceptions, okay? Note on this question, and on at least two others we've had this evening, the longest answer has been the correct answer. That's not always going to be the case, but it is sure a giveaway. Watch that. If you run into a question and you're kind of confused on it, take a breath, take a look, and see if not the long answer is the one that's the easiest, because that's probably the correct one. Not always, but the long answer on all three, tech, general, and extra, I've noticed the long answer is oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, the way to go. Okay, back to Gordon. Over. 80CDQ.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Thanks, Kathy. We're moving now into Echo 1 Echo's grouping. And I see we're about 43 minutes into the hour, so we're doing very well. This section will be covering volunteer examiner programs, definitions, qualifications, preparation, and administration of exams, accreditations, question pools, documents required. First question that we picked out of this, which will be important to you, you can count how many heads when you go in to take your exam. Echo 1, Echo 01 reads, what is the minimum number of qualified VEs required to administer an Element 4 amateur operator license examination? Element 4 is your extra class license, guys and gals. Okay, the answers they give you, A5, B2, C4, and D3, and the answer is Delta, D. Three people. This is the a memorization question, I think, but one you can quickly think of when you just count how many heads are behind the table giving the exams. Any comments on this, please?
Again, this is CDQ. When I interviewed that VE, the lady I spoke of, she's been a long-time VE. Many people in this area, she's been the one giving the exam. She also noted, I asked her, what do you do with someone who does not have sight? How do you give the exam? And the simple answer was, we read the questions and we read the answer to the sightless person taking the test. Very simple, not high-tech, but I always had wondered. So a blind person, don't be concerned, the handy hams, they read the question, and they read the answer. KD0, CDQ.
Okay, and I would assume with that, Mike, that the person taking the exam with the visual difficulties just picks out or reiterates the correct question out of the four to the examiner. Is that the way it goes?
You know, Gordon, you're always a little smarter than I just asked the instructor, I asked the VE, how do you test a person without sight? I didn't ask how they respond. And I think you're right. They would have to verbally respond because they cannot see the paper. You're right, Gordon. TD0, CDQ, back to you. Back to Kathy.
K2HA.
Mr. Fred. Mr. Orlando area. Good evening, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the reasons why there needs to be three examiners there is because the actual test has to be evaluated or graded three times, and you need three people to do that.
Well, that's an interesting wrinkle, only in a respect. I knew that there had to be three VE signatures on the exam. I didn't realize that each individual had to re-review the questions also. Okay. Thank you, Fred. Anything else?
Oh, that's it. Keep up the good work.
Muchas gracias, senor. All right, Kathy. It's going to be your wrap here as I see the way things are going. Last question for this evening is E1-E05. And we're 47 minutes into the hour, so we're doing great. Kathy, thank you. KY6V, over.
If I can cut in, I think there's a question from Tom in South Jersey, KC2FHO. Tom, you want to go ahead with your question, please?
Roger, KC2THO. When a blind person takes the exam, they read the question, and then they read the answers. Then if you're blind and can't read, you absorb things much better when you can read them. At least I do, anyway. And it's not as easy as it sounds. And that's how it is. What can I tell you? If you've taken, I'm sure most of the people here have taken the general test and the tech test, and they're all about the same as far as a procedure. So it should be no problem with if you can see or not see. I think you'd do better if you could see, though. That's all I had to say. Go ahead. Go ahead there, Gordon. I guess it's your turn.
Okay. Well, thanks for picking up, Tom, Mike, and thank you for that comment. And I'm going to throw it over to Kathy here and let her start wrapping things up. E1 Echo 05, last of the Mohegans for this evening, it looks like, Kathy. KY6V, please go ahead.
Well, thank you so much. This is Kilo 6 Sierra, United November, and you're correct. This is the last question for this evening, and this is a very important one, especially as a teacher. You know, most of my students, before they take a test, they want to know what they have to get correct or wrong to get a good grade. And that's what this question's about. It's Echo 1, Echo 05, and what is the minimum passing score on amateur operator license examinations? And your choices are a minimum passing score of 70%, which is a C, a minimum passing score of 74, which is a C, minimum passing score of 80%, or a minimum passing score of 77%. The correct answer is Bravo. You need actually a passing score of a 74%. Now, your total questions on this extra exam is 50. This means you can miss 13 questions and still pass and bring home the bacon. You must get 37 questions correct. So that's the final question for this evening. And if it's okay, Gordon and Mike, I'd like to just make some few comments before we close this evening. Is that all right?
It's okay here. Go right ahead, Kathy.
Well, you know, I can't say no. Go ahead, Kathy.
Actually, Gordon, I doubled with you. So, but ladies and gentlemen, Mike, both Mike and Gordon have been encouraging you to not remember the alpha designator when it comes to taking your test. I have gone from a technician to an extra class, I think within about 3 years. And it was, it was to prove something to myself that I could actually get that license. So, you know, I studied, and South Cars was wonderful. Their information is superb. And I studied that material when I thought I was ready. And we'll encourage this to everyone as we get further in the course. I went into, I bet it was QRZ at the time. They gave you a series of questions. I think it was 10 questions at a time. But they had probably 100 different tests. I went through each and every one of those tests. Sometimes I went through them twice. First time I may have gotten a 70. I wasn't happy with that. Second time maybe I got an 80. Wasn't happy with that. I was not happy until I got that 100%. Then I knew the material. And let me drop it here for just one moment. I'll give one final comment. As both Mike and Gordon have talked about, there are some questions that it's just best to memorize. Look at something in the question that gives you a clue to something in the answer. Like I gave you the clue of the 30 in the question I had. And Mike's giving you a clue of the longest answer. And a lot of times that's correct. A lot of times it's correct that either none of the answers are correct or all of the answers are correct. My suggestion is look for the question, something in that question that gives you a clue in the answer, and then you can go from there. And hopefully that will give you some help along the way, because like I said, I went from a technician to an extra, and it was a piece of cake for me. So with that, Gordon, I'm going to throw it to you first, see if you have any comments, and then you can throw it over to Mike to close. But thank you everyone for joining us this evening, and I'll see you all on Tuesday.
Well, thank you very much, Kathy. I want to wave at Roger up there in Ridley Park. I see him in the text box. Nice to have you aboard here, Chief. Roger is one of our staff members, board members with South Cars, and also an instructor for a session or two here on this extra course for 2016. So at any rate, I want to leave you with one thought. Tuesday night's session, we'll be covering Echo 1 F01. It should be in your email. Echo 1 F01 through Echo 2 Charlie 13. Echo 2 Charlie 13. That's 58 questions. So I would hope that you will take a peek at that before Tuesday night comes so that we can throw any questions at us that maybe you're uncomfortable with. The recordings seem to have been going very well. I've got actually four machines going here at the moment. Well, actually more. Kathy's recording on hers too. So we've got five recordings going here and a backup recording in Olathe, Kansas. So I'm pretty sure that at very short order you will find the podcast for this evening on our website. Okay, over to you, Michael, for any fanfare and running this thing to the barn, kind sir. KC or KD0CDQ, KY6V, over.
There is no question that Kathy and Gordon are excellent instructors. They really make it clear, and they really care. They really care to help. So we don't look at it as an interruption. That's why I said if you have a comment, come aboard. We want to help, and we can't help those that don't help themselves. I noticed there's a comment here from W4RFJ. Did you have a comment? I see you have a text. If you have a comment, please go ahead.
Well, thank you, Mike. This is W4RFJ. In Ridley Park, Pennsylvania. Excellent session. I want to also add, I know, Gordon, you've been advertising the study guide. Well, I've spent the past week going over that, and I got to tell you, it is an awesome tool. So please take advantage of that. That study guide will, especially between that and the syllabus on the question pool, will help you direct any efforts that you may need. Some of that stuff you may already know. But that was my comment. My hat's off to the South Cars group for putting together such an awesome program. W4RFJ, back to net.
Thank you, Chief. Thanks for those comments. I've got two basic comments here. One of the instructors we've had in the past is from Canada, Bill from Peterborough, Canada, and he tells us that when they take the exam in Canada, I think he said there were 200 questions. That's as I remember, so they have a real hazard, a lot of questions. Now, we'll just have 50 on the extra, of course, 35 on the other, but 50, but there's two schools of thought here. One with just 50 questions, you got to be sharp. If you had 200 questions, well, I don't know. To some of us, that might be easier to take that. But here you only have 50. And the part that ties with that is trust your memory. Many times in life, we don't know the answer, but something in our brain is jingling, ringing that bell. When you study and put faith into your studying, really do the work, your brain knows the answer. It's we get in the way of it. We stumble. We stumble because we see something that distracts us and we stumble. If your mind tells you a certain answer is correct, trust it. Trust your mind. That's the first thing, your memory. And second, that's if you've studied. And second, I wouldn't change answers. I think all three of us here, Kathy, Gordon, and I, will tell you if you change an answer, you're probably goofed. Trust yourself, and yourself is your brain. You know, it's up there working all the time, same as when you're driving. Something tells you to look in that mirror, and don't you know there's always a big pickup truck right in that mirror. If you don't look, you don't know. But because of your skill that you've developed on the highways, you tend to look. Same thing on these tests. Your brain knows what the answer probably is if you've studied. Trust it. Trust yourself. Trust your brain. Don't countermand it, you know. That's the thing Kathy would tell you, too. You know, we tell the students that, too. I've been with the high schools and with special ed kids. When there's something in their head, tell me. You know, either on the test, stick with it, or with the special ed kids, if there's something on your mind, come out and tell us. Don't hold it in. But your brain is working all the time, although we may be slack. Okay, anybody else have a comment, please come aboard now. We'll listen for any comments from anyone. The recording is still going. KD0CDQ, listening.
Diana has one in the text box, Mike.
Very good. Go on, Diana. I'd like to hear your voice. Go right ahead.
Well, this is Rebecca, KD4QX. And while you were talking about changing answers, I thought back to when I took my state board exam for nursing, and this was at the time when you sat there for several days. You had multiple days of testing. But one thing I found myself doing, and that was a good practice for me, was when you're marking answers on a separate answer sheet, I would put my pencil point on the letter or the spot to mark, and then I would go back and look, and not mark it yet, look at my question, verify that I have exactly which question, the answer that I want, and double-check the spot that I'm marking on that paper before I put the mark there, and I've avoided a lot of incorrect answers by doing that, because my mind does some funky things sometimes, and the answer may be C, and I just think I'm going over there to the C, and I'm actually got my pencil on a B, so I learned to double-check that. And that may be a helpful tidbit for somebody out there. Right, this is Rebecca, KD4QX, and turn it back over to you.
Children pay money, families pay money to prop the kids up, get them ready for the ACTs and the SATs. They pay good hard cash to get the same thing that Kathy and I have been giving you here. The same kind of hints is what it's all about. But folks will shell the money out to get that kind of help. So here we'll give you some other hints as we go through. Now next, on Tuesday, my wife and I were heading down to Dallas to visit my son and his family. So you'll have the golden voice of Kathy will be the MC, whatever you want to call it, the presenter, and I won't be back. I'll be back next Sunday. That's the plan. We're going down there for just a few days to get a peek at the family so we don't forget what they look like. It's kind of sad that it's down in Dallas, but that's where we're heading. It's a 8-plus-hour drive, but it's okay. It's the road's paved all the way, would you believe? Would you believe out here in Kansas the roads are paved, and in Oklahoma, and in Texas, except Texas, there's so much construction, it might as well not be paved. But, so, just give you a little glimpse of what it's like out here in the Midwest. Same as it is in the rest of the country. And let's all enjoy each other. It's not often we get a chance to talk from different parts of the country, but it's sure grand to do. Now again, we'll be back here Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. And they'll be back here with the Tuesday night, and I'll be with you again next Sunday night, the Lord willing. So God bless everyone. And if anyone has any comments, I'm about to Gordon, I'm going to turn off my recording, and if everyone would be quiet right now, when we turn off the recordings, we need to have a quiet time so we can get them all shut down together. So please give us a few moments of quiet, and then if you have any comments, I think Gordon, if you'll come back on when you've got your machines turned off, and we'll see if anybody has any comments. But please be quiet now while we turn off the recordings. KD0CDQ.
Well, I'm going to wait for a minute before I do that, Mike. We still need to pick up Diane, who is patiently waiting, or Diana, KD0, OBP, I think it is. You know the lady. Go ahead, Mike, over.
Yes, Diana is a very fine lady. Whenever there's an event, whether it be a bicycling event or runners or motorcycles, she's out there with a checklist. She's making sure everything's going down right. We're just standing there with our mouth hanging open trying to communicate, and she's the one making sure we're in the right place at the right time, saying the right thing. So, Diana, go right ahead. Go ahead with your comments. KD0CDQ, standing by. But try that again. Diana, could you go ahead, please? We're waiting to hear your comments. KD0CDQ.
This is Diana Fittick, KD0OBP. I had a question about E1A05, the science behind it. I didn't really understand it.
Okay, I think that, Kathy, that's the question you had. Echo 1 Alpha 05, the first question that you presented. Diana has a question on that. I'm going to spin back to look at it too. Could you go over that again? Echo 1 Alpha 05.
Yeah, I'm going to pick that up for Kathy. She just asked me to do so. Hi, Diana. Nice to have you with us tonight, number one. Looks like you've got your Echolink system all put together. She was just signing up on Echolink.org to get registered and so on and so forth. Looked like that she was going to have to use her husband's call for tonight, but she got it made. Echo 1A05, Diana, let me buy a nickel a moment, was the question that read, what is the maximum power output permitted on the 60-meter band? 60 meters. And the correct answer to that is 100 watts PEP. 100 watts PEP, effective radiated power relative to the gain of a half-wave dipole. And what Kathy was trying to explain is that there is no particular gain to a half-wave dipole. It's considered zero gain. So if you have an antenna such as a beam or something that produces more gain than a dipole, that has to be included in your wattage calculation to be legal for operation on 60 meters. The example that she gave, she said, if you look at this hypothetically, those were her words, if your transmitter is 100 watts, your coax has no loss, and your antenna has a gain of 3 dB, which is double your power, your PEP power is 200 watts or 100 watts more than is allowed on 60 meters. In this case, she went on to say, become legal, you would need to reduce your transmitter power to 50 watts to produce a 100 watt PEP signal. Diana, did that make sense to you, please? Over.
Yes, it did, KD0OBP. Thank you very much.
And Diana, two things. 60 meter, I've never been on 60 meters, and if you look at the study guide that we have, and I know Herb's got one hanging up probably down in the ham shack. There's a list of the various bands that we go on, and I don't think many of us get on 60. Maybe I'm wrong there. But then also a second part of that question is, notice by one word, that's the longest answer. Okay, KD0CDQ. Anyone else have any questions? Go right ahead, please. I believe we're back up again. This is KD0CDQ. Am I right? Are we back up? Over.
Yeah, I didn't see you drop off, Mike, but you went quiet. You are loud and clear, sir, and I'm ready to sever ties on the recording when you are. KY6V.
Very good. I was reading the text box. Okay, very good again. Everyone, if we just be quiet for a few moments, when we shut down these recordings, it has to be quiet. So Gordon will come back when he's got his five machines turned off, and I'll listen for his. KD0CDQ. Let's be quiet now. Thank you.